At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
The CAR Files, the ultimate Panthers podcast with Nate Lundy.
And welcome in. It is time for another edition of the podcast. So much to be able to talk about. All the action from week two. We'll be breaking it down. Offense, defense, all the injuries to talk about. Speaking of injuries and around the league, we will go around the league with the coach, Brian Billick. He joins us as well, as he always does each week, to give us his analysis on what happened in week two and even looking ahead to week three. And then this week in overtime from Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback, Jenny Ventris joins us to be able to go through our six-pack of questions. But as always, we kick things off with the big interview. Let's get to it.
The big interview.
Time to check in on how things are going with the Panthers, and to do that from WBTV in Charlotte, Ashley Strohline joins us. You find Ashley on Twitter at Ashstro, that's A-S-H-S-T-R-O, if you want to give her a follow. Thanks for joining us. Let's look at what is happening with the Panthers. Obviously, a big win coming off of the loss to the Broncos, a big win against the Niners, but Ashley, is there any concern about the fact that the defense gave up 27 points to the Niners? Or does that just get chalked up to some late garbage points?
A little bit of both, I think. I know that, you know, we committed four turnovers and three of those on fumbles, which then, you know, led the 49ers to get a lot of points. So I think part of that, when we talked to the guys in the locker room after the game, they were like, you know, we just got really comfortable with our lead. And I think in the fourth quarter, we got a little lazy. And then, you know, as everyone saw, we're thinking, okay, the Panthers are good to go, but they don't call them the cardiac cats for nothing. Then we have a 7-point game in the fourth quarter, and it could be anybody's game. But, you know, they just said, you know, we got a little too comfortable. We're going to have to make sure that we stay ready to go every second until, you know, the game is over.
As you look at the offensive performance, and we'll talk about Jonathan Stewart and an update on him here in a moment, but when we see Cam spreading the ball out the way that he did, you know, eight different receivers got targeted overall, seven of them making catches. Obviously, that is the way that they want to try to balance the offense, at least from a passing game standpoint. And certainly the return of Kelvin Benjamin has to have everybody in a good mood when it comes to the Carolina offense.
Absolutely. And Cam said, you know, Kelvin makes my life so much easier. And he says what Kelvin has, the abilities that he has on the field, that's just not something you can teach. He says, you know, Benjamin was lucky he was born with all of that between his size and just all of the skills that he has. And I think Kelvin, after having to sit out all of last year, is so happy to be back. And some of the catches that he made, getting knocked every way, but still managing to hold on with one hand and pull the ball down, or, you know, taking it into the end zone. So that's a huge plus to see him back out there and being healthy. And from what he tells us, he feels like he's 100%, you know, back to who he used to be and even better. And then, you know, you still have Greg Olsen and now Funchess is out there and Billy Brown. So he has so much more than he had last year just with the return of Kelvin. And so I think him being out last year actually helped Cam to get better, because not only did he, you know, find ways to make himself score points, but use other people he hadn't had to use before.
When you're around the players, the locker room, the practice facility, et cetera, does Ted Ginn Jr. sometimes feel like maybe the forgotten member of the offense? I mean, with his contributions and such, we know what he's capable of, and yet here we are talking about Greg Olsen, we talk about Devin Funchess, we talk about Kelvin Benjamin, and sometimes I imagine Ted Ginn Jr. over in the corner going, hey, don't forget about me. Does that ever play into it with him?
You know, I think the atmosphere that they've just established in that locker room, it really feels very genuine and like a brotherhood, and I think everyone is so happy. And for them, it sounds cliche, but they really just want to win games. And, you know, after the way their season ended last year, they all had this one goal of getting back there together and making it happen. So I think, you know, when he has that great game or that awesome touchdown and he's getting the shine, that's great. But I think he's just as happy for everyone else. I've never sensed any type of, hey guys, you know, I'm right here, come talk to me. I don't think it matters.
All right. As we look at Carolina, we know how important it is and how important the Super Bowl run and the NFC Championship was when it comes to the defensive side of things. And we know that with no Josh Norman, this team has had to lean on some youngsters back in the defensive backfield. Ashley, what have you liked and what still has you worried about this defense after 2 weeks?
Well, in the first game, I was thinking, okay, we're not the same. It's going to be rough. It's going to be hard. And then last week, when they played the 49ers, I was very happy with what I saw, just from how they came together, from, you know, Charles Johnson forcing the fumble to Shaq Thompson being there to scoop it up and score to, you know, rookie James Bradbury making that interception, you know, another 24 out there. We're used to seeing Josh Norman do it, and Bradbury is stepping up and making plays. So I think for them, it was just about rebuilding that chemistry and the rookies kind of, okay, we're going to be starting as rookies, what to expect. And now that they've had their first, you know, road game under their belt and now their home game, I think that they're just kind of settling more into where they need to be. Of course, there are still some questions. And I think, you know, with the front seven, they're pretty good. But, you know, if someone gets hurt or who's going to step up and who's going to fill in. And I think that was one thing that after the 49ers game, it was, what can we do to make that defensive line better?
Now going forward within the schedule, we get ready for a home game against Minnesota, an early game on the schedule this upcoming Sunday. What are you looking for out of this team that maybe you haven't seen from them out of the week one loss to the Broncos or the week two win against San Francisco? Is there something you're still waiting to see out of them?
Well, I would like to see just a complete game from everybody, whether it's the offense, special teams, or defense. And that's something that they talked about last year that they struggled with. Can we all be on the same page for four quarters of the same ball game? And I think, you know, even last week it was, okay, if there was a fumble that the offense caused, you know, then it's, well, now the defense has to go and make up for that. Or the defense let the team score, but now the offense has to go and try and put points on the board. So it's really just them. They're so talented, and I think they have it there in all three phases, but it's everybody being able to come together for all four quarters of the game and not, you know, blowing a lead and everyone being like, are we actually going to win this game, or coming back at the last second to win the game.
How much concern is there right now with what's happening with Jonathan Stewart? I mentioned we were going to come back around to him. We know that the hamstring injury, as of the time that you and I are recording this, they're saying it could be 1 week, it could be two, it could be longer. What's the latest that you're hearing on the expectations for when he could be back? And then obviously your thoughts on Fozzie and the fill-in options they have in the backfield.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, throughout Stewart's career, he's had to deal with stuff like this before, and I think it's really unfortunate that it's happening, you know, this early on in the season after him having such an awesome season last year. But when we talked with Coach yesterday in his press conference, he did say that he had just ran into Jonathan at the facility, and he said he felt good. He had just gotten the MRI. Hopefully it's just a hamstring, a couple weeks max, but there was no result. You know, we didn't know the extensive results of what the MRI showed or anything like that. But, you know, Rivera said he feels very confident in the depth that they have at that position. And, you know, Fozzie really stepped up on Sunday. He had his first 100-yard rushing day in his career ever. And so that puts a lot of faith that the team has in him that he can step up in Stewart's spot. Of course, you have Mike Tolbert and then Cameron Artis Payne, which, you know, got some good touches last year and did some great things. So I think that they feel very comfortable in the depth that they have should Stewart have to be out for an extended period of time.
And last one for you, Ashley, give me a prediction of what you expect in the home game against the Vikings.
Oh, I'm so bad at predictions, but I, you know, I feel good. And, you know, they're very good at home, 14 straight wins right now. So they really want to continue to defend their dirt and make it 15. But I mean, they know even though Adrian Peterson's could possibly not play with a torn meniscus, that they can't count the Vikings out. You know, Stephon Diggs did awesome stuff last week, and they're saying, okay, he's explosive. We've got to pay attention to that. So I don't think that it's going to be an easy game for them just because the Vikings have a star player that might not play. I think, I think it'll be a close game, and hopefully the Panthers will come out with a win, and they'll be 2-1 at the end of week three.
From WBTV in Charlotte, Ashley Sterline's been my guest here on the CAR files as we go through the NFL files with Ashley. The latest, she's with WBT News. The Twitter handle for her is Ashstro, A-S-H-S-T-R-O. Ashley, really appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up next, the coach, Brian Billy.
Around the league.
It is time, as always, for us to go around the NFL, and to do that, we are joined by the coach, Brian Billick. He's presented by SeatGeek, reminding you that you can visit SeatGeek.com or you can download the SeatGeek app. Always make sure that you, your friends, your family are getting the best deal on tickets. Doesn't matter if it's a sporting event or a concert, SeatGeek helps you out with the amazing technology of Deal Score, so make sure that you have the SeatGeek app on your phone the next time you and your family are ready to head out to the big game or to a concert. Coach, let's start with Monday Night Football, where we know that Jay Cutler injured his hand, was not able to go back into the game, but more of the talk seems to be about whether or not Jay Cutler is really the right guy or the right future for Chicago. I suppose we could argue that what other choice do they have? What is your take on what you've seen from Jay Cutler and from the Bears?
Well, yeah, it's a tough question. It's always difficult to separate the play of a quarterback from what's going around him. Yeah, it's been a tough go for Jay Cutler, not the least of which is the fact that he's had something along the line of 6 or 7 different coordinators, therefore 6 or 7 basically different systems over the time he's been in Denver over the last 8 years. So I don't know of any quarterback that's going to function well in that situation. It may be time for Chicago to move on. What's gone under the bridge, so to speak, by way of Jay Cutler, it just hasn't been successful. This is not a very good football team. So for them to totally reshuffle the deck and try to move forward might be the thing to do.
When you look on the other side of the ball, Coach, you've got 2 games under Carson Wentz's belt and 2 wins. Granted, 1 against Chicago, 1 against Cleveland. However, what have you seen from the rookie that's impressed you the most?
Yeah, I mean, the schedule maker certainly made it certainly an easier pass for this rookie to start out when talking about the 2 teams he's had to face. But having said that, you can't help but be impressed with what Carson Wentz has done. He seems to be very calm in the pocket, so to speak. You know, if you want to be nitpicky, third down has not been still real productive. I think he was 3 of 10 in the first game. He's 3 of 15 this game. So sustaining drives is something, but that will come as the rookie continues to mature in the system. And also the fact that the Eagles are staying committed to the run as best they can. They ran better than 30 times and only had 100 yards. But it shows you that they're trying to keep that balance for Carson Wentz. He threw it 37 times in the first game, 34 times last night. That's ambitious for a rookie quarterback. Now, we'll see going forward whether they maintain this. The schedule's obviously going to get a little bit tougher for them as they go down the way. Obviously in Cleveland and Chicago having their difficulties as they try to, piece some wins together here. But we're going to find out, the fact that he did it at home and the fact that he did it, on the road. We're going to find out this week because all but at home, they're going to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's going to go across from Ben Roethlisberger.
Coach, when you look at what the Patriots have been doing without Tom Brady, what's the most impressive part of it to you?
Well, anytime you lose your quarterback and then your backup quarterback, of course, we kind of get used to it with New England, don't we? We just kind of think they're going to overcome anything. This will be an interesting challenge on a short week, playing a very good Houston team. Brissett, the young rookie, obviously came in, they spotted him 24-point lead, so obviously life was pretty good at that point. The key for him, and obviously Bill Belichick knows this, is to let that talent around you win for you. If they can get Gronkowski back, they have Martellus Bennett, there's Julian Edelman, those are some pretty good inside targets to help get the ball out of your hand quickly. I imagine we're going to see a lot of sprints and boots and waggles by Brissett to get out from behind the pocket. But this is going to be a challenge for you now because Houston, all but at home for New England, where they're almost unbeatable, the good thing is the cavalry is on the way in a couple weeks when they're going to get Brady back.
When you look at what the Buffalo Bills have been doing, there are a lot of folks that believe this is Rex Ryan's sort of last rodeo here, and that the Bills have not been living up to the expectation of the fans or of the team. What are you seeing out of the Bills, and is this Rex Ryan's last run?
Well, the fact that he came in from a division opponent after he got fired from New York and the expectations took over the number one rated defense in the league and it has not performed well. And the fact that now that they're 0-2 and they've got Arizona and all but New England. Now, you know, it's Tom Brady-less New England. It may be a Jimmy Garoppolo-less New England. If they should struggle and lose to Arizona and then somehow at New England, and again, New England's a tough place to play, particularly without those two individuals, and lose, you know, an 0-4 Buffalo Bills team, you've already fired your offensive coordinator. It's going to be a tough road to hoe for Buffalo.
What are you seeing that are the struggles right now for the Seattle Seahawks, Coach? Very shocking, I suppose, for just about anybody to see the L.A. Rams wind up beating them this past weekend. They just don't seem to be in sync on offense. What are you seeing with the Seahawks?
Well, we saw this early last year. Remember, they started 0-2 last year, but I think it begins with the offensive line. They're struggling on the offensive line, so therefore they're not running the ball well. They're not protecting Russell Wilson as well. Russell Wilson finally will be likely a plus 500 throw quarterback this year, and I think he's up to it. Up to this point, he's been under 450 throws every year. Why? Because they play great defense and run the ball. Defense is not playing as well. Solid, but not as well as we've seen, particularly in their Super Bowl runs. So, yeah, it's a cascading set of events. It doesn't mean it can't get better if Russell Wilson's ankle gets a little bit better, if they can shore up the offensive line a little bit. But, again, the Seattle Seahawks teams that have gone on this great run, it was anchored by league-leading defense, top-five rushing attack, and they have neither one of those right now.
And are they missing, you talked about the running game, is it not just missing the running game but missing Marshawn Lynch specifically? Are they missing that sort of, you know, downhill Mack truck rushing attack?
Yeah, I think the physicality of Marshawn Lynch was a mentality that played into the formula for them. You get a little bit extra from Russell Wilson on the edges when he scrambles around. And so I think the way they're running the ball right now, and again, it goes back to the offensive line. I just don't think that they're performing at a level that lends itself. I mean, you talk about that called smash-mouth physical play. That's not what Seattle is right now.
When the Vikings managed to get the win to open up the brand-new stadium, one of the comments that I had made, Coach, a couple of weeks ago was that this might be the best team that Sam Bradford's ever been on, and so maybe we will finally see the Sam Bradford that everybody expected coming out of college. Did you see that in the home win on Sunday night?
Yeah, when you begin with the defense, the way they're playing defense, which is just spectacular, you know. And when you look at this defense, you got to love it. Outside of Matt Barr, you name somebody on the Minnesota Viking defense. Linville Joseph is obviously pretty good. But they don't have those marquee, okay, yeah, they're anchoring their defense. They're just playing great team defense. And Mike Zimmer gets a lot of credit for that. Depending upon when Adrian Peterson can come back, they haven't been running the ball pretty well. I think that goes back to the offensive line to a degree. I think it also goes back to the fact that when you go back and look last year, Adrian Peterson ran for better than 1,400 yards. His best game was against the Oakland Raiders. I went back and looked at that game. He was in the eye. They had two tight ends. They were playing a physical running game. The fact that they're doing more and more out of the gun, I don't know that that suits the running style, certainly not of Adrian Peterson. I'm not sure they wouldn't be better served to get back into the eye and two tight ends and let Sam Bradford hand the ball off or play action fake and send them, you know, throw the ball down the field. And with that great defense, that can be a good winning formula for this team because they're clearly a good football team.
On the other side of it from Sunday night, the Packers. Coach, what are you seeing that you like and what has you concerned with Green Bay?
Well, you know, everybody thought when Jordy Nelson came back, you know, life would be fine, that everything was going to be okay at that point. I think there's a little more to it. I think the defense, obviously, there's still some question marks there. Aaron Rodgers doesn't, although he's still making some just spectacular throws. The fact that he goes back to Minnesota playing so good on defense, Aaron Rodgers under 60%. He's not having the efficiency that we're used to seeing with Aaron Rodgers. With the running game, you know, Eddie Lacy, the slimmed-down Eddie Lacy, is not necessarily generating the productivity you'd like to see. I'm not sure I wouldn't go back. It's not my place to second-guess Mike McCarthy. He's an excellent play caller. but the up-tempo, high-paced Green Bay, they like that no-huddle. I'm not sure they might not be better off going back to a more structured offense, control the clock a little bit more, and let Aaron Rodgers operate from that standpoint.
Speaking of defense, through the first 2 weeks, we've seen the New York Giants give up only 32 points, 19 to the Cowboys, and, of course, 13 this past week in holding the Saints in check. Obviously, the Giants have been impressive through 2 weeks with this new revamped defense.
Yeah, it's nice to see that $200 million can buy you something in today's economy. They went out and spent a bunch of money on that defense. They're playing like a top 10 defense compared to last year, which, you know, that clearly that's what they needed to approach, where they were literally last in the league. So that's quite a jump, going from last in the league in defense to jumping into the top 10. Now, we've only got two games, so we got a long way to go. But it was obviously money well spent. And then when you throw in, obviously, this emerging dynamic wide receiving core with OBJ, and obviously it's good to see Cruz back into it, and this young man Shepard, the rookie. That's quite a threesome. You'd have to go back in the Giants, back to the 2011 team when they had Plexico Burress, and Victor Cruz was a part of that. Go back even further to 2007. This is clearly the best wide receiving core that we've seen out of New York.
Always great stuff with the coach, Brian Billick. He's brought to us each and every week on the NFL Files by our friends at SeatGeek. Make sure you've got that SeatGeek app on your phone or visit SeatGeek.com so you can make sure you, your family, friends, always getting the best deal on tickets. Check out DealScore that makes sure that the tickets you've got, you can look at that stadium view and know that you're getting the best deal. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Overtime coming up next.
Overtime.
It is time for overtime, and to do that this week from Sports Illustrated, a Monday morning quarterback, Jenny Vrentas joins us. Jenny, we do a six-pack of questions here in overtime, so let's start here. Question number one, are you on the Carson Wentz bandwagon?
I'm halfway on. I think the first two wins, they were great to get off the 2-0 start. I think he and Doug Peterson and the offensive coaching staff have done a great job. I think he's still, you know, like any young quarterback, still has a lot of room to grow. I hate to make any judgments after two games, but certainly how quickly he's gotten into the game and been able to make some of the throws and decisions he's made, he's certainly impressed me.
All right, so you're not on the bus quite yet, but you might be standing at the bus stop is what you're saying.
There you go. That's a great way to say it.
Okay, good. Question number two, Jenny, what right now do you think is the biggest problem facing the NFL?
Health and safety. I think it's, you know, ultimately will determine the future of the game, how we view the game. Are we comfortable watching the game, sending our kids to play the game? So I think how the NFL and the sport of football handle health and safety over the next 10 to 15 years is critical in determining the direction of the sport.
All right. Question number three. Who right now is your current NFL player that's your favorite to interview?
Favorite player to interview? That is a great question.
Or maybe just a favorite one you've done recently. I know it's hard to single one out.
Favorite one. Right. It is hard to single one out. You know, I always enjoy visiting with the Cardinals. They have a lot of really interesting, honest guys. And I was out there in August, and I think Tyrann Mathieu is just so fun to interview. The energy that he brings his team on the field, he just makes him so interesting off the field to talk to as well. So he's definitely a guy that I really enjoy talking with.
All right. Question number five for us here, question number four, as we go through. Is Rex Ryan overrated as a head coach?
I've covered Rex for a long time. I do not question his ability at all as a defensive-minded coach. Now, head coach is a big difference, but I still don't believe that he's overrated because I think he gets a lot of criticism that he doesn't necessarily deserve. I think he can win. I do not believe that he is on the hot seat as much as people want to say this year. So, no, I do not think he's overrated as a head coach.
As you followed the question number five here, as you followed the AFC East, there's been a lot of discussion about Darrell Revis and whether or not he has faded as a defender. Do you buy into that? Is it time for him to slide over to safety? What's your take on Darrell Revis?
He is certainly not playing at the same level he played at in 2009, 2010. That was when he was at the top of the mountain. So when we're used to seeing a player who lines up one-on-one with a receiver and man coverage all the time, very often with no help at all, that's so rare and unusual. So watching him now, he's not that same player. That much is clear. I don't believe it's time to put him safety yet. I think he can still be effective as a cornerback. It's just a different kind of cornerback. He's not that kind of guy you can stick on an island anymore. And that's okay. There aren't many of those guys in the game. But I think he can still be an effective cornerback.
All right, final question in our six-pack of questions here for you, Jenny. We love to do this early in the season, so we might as well do it here. If you had to hand out the NFL's MVP award after the first 2 weeks, who would you give it to?
MVP award after the first 2 weeks. Well, it's not a player, but I'd give it to Belichick for winning two games. But that's Coach of the Year, and you asked MVP award. I'm going with Von Miller.
All right. Well, see, and you're not far off, because last year on my radio show, I actually said that I thought the MVP of the league was Wade Phillips. So for you to give it to Bill Belichick after 2 weeks kind of makes sense, right?
Right. But yeah, I mean, that Denver defense, Miller's a good choice. I know a defensive player hasn't won since Lawrence Taylor, but I'm sticking with Miller right now.
There she is, Jenny Ventress from Sports Illustrated Monday Morning Quarterback. You find her on Twitter at Jenny Ventress, V-R-E-N-T-A-S. Jenny, appreciate the time for joining us on the NFL Files. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Really appreciate Jenny's time. That'll do it. That wraps up our podcast for this week. Make sure you're checking out all the archives posted up at audioboom.com. All you got to do is search NFL Files, listen for your favorite team or for any of the teams around the NFL. My name is Nate Lundy. Talk to you next week.
This has been a Sports Show production. For more team-specific podcasts, visit sportsshow.com.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Cobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.